You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the day of all days. Saquon, say it ain't so. Barkley running to arrival, topping the list on a free agent frenzy. How about Captain Kirk? Does he make Atlanta the team to beat in the NFC? Or did another contender quietly have a better day? And then wait a minute. Is Justin out of options? Where in the world do he and the Bears go from here? All that and more. Oh, let's do this thing, people. It's a Tuesday, and free agency is upon us. And it was nuts yesterday. Holy smoke, what a day it was. We were busy, and we loved every second of it, and we are here wall-to-wall with more of it to come. Graziano's got stories all day long. Tannenbaum was hoping I don't yell at him again. I continue to feel guilty about that. Shefty was unreal yesterday, breaking news left and right. Dan Orlovsky's got opinions all day long, and it begins this morning with the huge news from the NFC East. Normally, quarterbacks lead all the conversations, but then Shefty reports that Saquon Barkley is going to Philadelphia. 3-year deal with the division rival Eagles, worth up to $47 million. $26 million of that fully guaranteed. How good is Saquon Barkley? Well, I'm glad you asked. He is a true three-down back, efficient on the ground, efficient in the passing game, efficient in pass protection. He's averaged nearly 100 scrimmage yards per game since entering the league, despite the Giants having poor offensive line play in that time. And I say that being kind. And their quarterback play hasn't been spectacular either. So, Shefty, that one really seemed to catch people off guard. Let's start there. I'm old enough to remember when running backs weren't worth any money. No one was going to pay them anything. How did Saquon wind up in Philadelphia?
Well, Greeny, one of the biggest surprises of yesterday was how busy the running backs were and how in demand they were. And no running back was more in demand than Saquon Barkley, who finds the type of deal in Philadelphia that he never was able to get with the New York Giants. He had looked and talked to that team for years. The two sides tried over and over to work out a deal. And again, what the Giants and Saquon couldn't accomplish in a couple of years, Saquon and the Eagles accomplished in a couple of hours. And that is how much Philadelphia wanted to pry him loose from their division rival. That's how much they wanted to make him a part of their offense. Last year, they leaned on a committee of backs led by DeAndre Swift, who wound up yesterday in Chicago with the Bears. But I think the Eagles looked at Saquon Barkley as a player, a back, who could elevate this offense and be a true three-down weapon and catch the ball out of the backfield and make the types of plays that would return the Eagles to the type of success they had at the beginning of last season and the season before. And that's why they made the plunge that the Giants were unwilling to make the previous couple of seasons.
Dan Orlovsky, tell me what he is in that offense. What does Saquon Barkley do for Jalen Hurts and the Eagles' offense?
Yeah, creates and attacks space and light, Greeny. Saquon Barkley's job in life as a New York Giant was always hard. It will never be easier than it will be in Philadelphia. If we think about Philadelphia's offense and the people that they have, the space that they're able to create with the A.J. Brown, a Dallas Goedert, a Devontae Smith, Saquon has never felt that. Imagine the field being spread 53 and a third yards wide, and now he has all that area to work with. Last year, Greeny, there was one back in the NFL that was hit behind the line of scrimmage more than Saquon Barkley. It was Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles create space at the offensive line. You know, when you're talking about getting the ball to a player and giving him room to go, Philadelphia's top five when it comes to changing the line of scrimmage. Saquon has never had the opportunity to get to the line of scrimmage and be like, oh, I haven't been hit yet. And so it completely transformed. And I think also, Greeny, you know, for a couple of years in Philadelphia, this was a plug-and-play offensive line. You could put any back there, it felt like, and they were going to go get yards. Jason Kelce's retired. It's not that offensive line anymore, but it is still a top-five offensive line. Saquon's job has never been easier.
And Jalen Hurts is a let's put it as politely as we can, a significant upgrade from the quarterback play that Saquon has had during his time in New York. You like it, love it, or don't understand it?
Greeny, I love it. I agree with what Dan said. The Philadelphia Eagles last year were number one in terms of offensive line before yards before contact. So from a fantasy standpoint, I think Saquon Barkley will be the number one player heading into the fall. And if you're Jalen Hurts, you ran the ball 491 times over the last 3 years, number one in the NFL from a quarterback perspective, got that from Hembo. You're going to make Jalen Hurts a lot healthier. Plus, what he can do in the passing game, he had 41 catches a year ago, Greeny, and this whole dogma about not paying quarterbacks, to pay this guy 4.7% of the salary cap, it's a no-brainer. Just for context, Gabe Davis is getting more on the average per year. Nothing wrong with Gabe Davis. I'd rather have Saquon Barkley. And when you could get a tough, productive, high-character player from your competitor, the Giants may not say today, but I've been in that building when that happens. It stings.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, pendulums swing, and every once in a while they go a little bit too far, as maybe they did with the running backs. It starts to come back. Now, the Eagles made two flashy moves yesterday. They signed Saquon for what is, by running back standards, a lot of money. They also signed Bryce Huff, a very good pass rush specialist from the Jets, for what was also big money. A lot of people say, oh my goodness, they just won the division. A lot of people are a little more hesitant on those moves. Where's Dan Graziano?
A little more hesitant on those moves. I think, you know, Saquon Barkley, you say he's going to make Jalen Hurts healthier. Is he going to make Saquon Barkley healthier? I mean, this guy's had two fully healthy seasons out of six, and that's one of the reasons the Giants didn't feel comfortable paying him at this level. Now, the Eagles see a player, and all Mike T's points, right? Like, he'll be better for us. He will be a difference-making player for us. That's why it's worth paying him, because we're paying him as a difference-maker, not as a running back. And if they're right, and look, Howie Roseman, I mean, he's as good at this as anybody, they may be right. But to me, it's a lot to pay. They had to do it. There were other teams in on it. Houston, in my understanding, was competitive, and the Eagles had to top their offer in order to get him. So if they wanted this player, which they clearly did, they had to do it. But for me, I just feel like I liked the Giants' day better than I liked the Eagles' day.
Remind everyone what they did.
I liked the trade for Brian Burns, an elite pass rusher from Carolina. Obviously, they paid a lot to get him and to sign him. They signed a couple of interior offensive linemen that not flashy moves, but critical ones. They signed a running back at their price, who they liked, Devin Singletary, who played for these guys when they were in Buffalo. I think the Giants had a very sort of quietly very good day, and I'm sure Giants ownership is sick about losing Saquon Barkley to a division rival. I'm sure of that. But they have faith in their front office, and they believe that they made the right decision in terms of not stretching.
Right, and if indeed they are sick, they had the medicine in front of them all these years, and they chose not to take it. They could have locked up Saquon a million times and chose not to. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, the reality is the only team that had a bad day yesterday in the NFC East is the Dallas Cowboys. They were the only team in the NFL that didn't make a move. Here's the difference for me, Graz. The Giants and the Eagles are obviously in two different time frames.
Right.
I honestly believe, and Mike T, you know this better, that the Philadelphia 100%. Eagles are still a Super Bowl contender. So that's why you go and maybe overly aggressive, go get a Saquon Barkley, because he's a transformative talent. We've seen Saquon be good in really, really, really bad situations. I'm just telling everybody, it's never been this easy. Just think of what Christian McCaffrey's impact was in San Francisco. And everyone's awesome. Like, well, he was really good in Carolina. Well, he's even better in San Francisco because his job is easier. Saquon is going to be significantly better in Philadelphia because his job is going to be easier. So is Jalen Hurts's. So is Goddard's and Devontae's and AJ. So this is a transformative move, and we haven't kind of felt the gravity of it. I also agree the Giants had a really good day. They let the face of their franchise go as well. Like, that could be true. He's been their guy.
Right, but to your point, though, Dan, like they never did any winning with Saquon. Like, the Giants are at a different part of their. You're absolutely right. Their perspective is different from Philadelphia's. I feel like I've been anti-Saquon since the day he was drafted. I'm not. I think he's a wonderful player. I just think he's always been overpriced since he got into the NFL.
Right. And again, I don't, when you consider, again, it's roughly about 4% of your cap. And again, we're burying the lead here, guys. The big winner is Jalen Hurts. Like, towards the end of the season, he was a diminished player. He was banged up. And when you can give the ball to Saquon Barkley and take some of those reps off of Jalen Hurts, and he could be healthier coming down the stretch, that could be a meaningful difference.
I would also like to address my next comments directly to the coordinating producer of this show, John Fink, otherwise known as Stick It In Your Pipe Fink, who's one of these angry Giant fans that were all over the place yesterday. Being voiced, I think tongue-in-cheekly by Tiki Barber yesterday. But if you're a Giant fan and you're mad at Saquon Barkley, I don't know what to tell you. This is a guy who begged the Giants to meet him not even halfway, a third of the way, a quarter of the way at any point, and allow him to be a Giant for life and to be the franchise face for the rest of his career. They chose not to do it. I'm not sitting here telling you it was the wrong thing to do. I understand the way people value running backs. But here's the point, Dan. I'm damn sure not saying that Saquon did anything wrong yesterday by going to a division rival or anybody else who is willing to pay him the most money. Now, the Tiki Barber stuff, I think, for those of you who didn't see it, so Tiki Barber, longtime Giant, obviously, hosts a talk show in New York now on the radio, and after the Saquon's signing was announced by Shefty yesterday, he said something on the air. Again, he says it was tongue-in-cheek, and it certainly appeared to be tongue-in-cheek. Goodbye, Saquon, you're dead to me now. Something like that. I think he was kidding. I don't know this, but I mean, we've all had that happen, right? Sure. I mean, Shefty, no one knows better than Shefty. If he speculates about something on the air for 1 second, the next thing you know, like every single Twitter, Adam Schefter is saying this. So Tiki said, you're dead to us, Saquon. I'm going to take him at his word that he was kidding around. I'm telling you who didn't think he was kidding around was Saquon Barkley. Let me read you Saquon's responses to Tiki on X. He tweeted, LOL. Yup, you're the prime example of loyalty to a team. I got the deal I wanted, secured more guaranteed money, which wasn't given to me before. So if fans are going to hate me for that, so be it. But I never turned my back on my teammates and always had theirs. You've been a hater since I got to New York, and all the dead to me talk, don't smile in my face when you see me. So Saquon... So Tiki may have been kidding. Saquon was not. Shefty, how should one respond to that?
Well, I think Saquon's right. If we go back to last summer when he was the Giants franchise player, he was the one that came in as training camp was open without any real meaningful adjustments on that deal. He could have played it out longer. He could have sat on the sidelines and waited. He didn't. And the reason he came back was because, as he said, he wanted to be there for his teammates and he couldn't bear the idea of missing any part of training camp. So he gave in last year. He hasn't missed out on any time. He's been there for his team, and that's exactly right. This is free agency. This is what it's about. Saquon Barkley hadn't had the chance until yesterday to become a true unrestricted free agent, to cash in the way that he wanted, and when he did, Philadelphia stepped up right away and said, we want you and we're going to pay you at this level that you haven't been paid at before. And of course, he has to do that. That's the right thing to do. It wasn't about loyalty. It was about being smart, sane, logical. It's exactly what he did yesterday. He's been there before for the Giants. And when it mattered to him, as it should have, he went and took the right offer.
And the bottom line of it, and we'll just move on from this quickly because there's so much more to get to. But yes, a year ago, basically this week, the Giants chose Daniel Jones over him, right? I mean, that was the decision that was made, right? Well, Dan Orlovsky, go ahead. Give me 30 seconds.
And that was the mistake, Greeny. You mentioning before, 100%. And you were like, I'm not going to say it was a mistake. That was when they made the moment of mistake, when they said, we're going to pay Daniel Jones $80+ million over 2 years, and we're going to choose to not pay the best player on our football team, the guy who's been the face of our franchise, and the person who has publicly never bashed Daniel Jones, even though his play didn't amount to anything in a positive fashion on a consistent basis. That's when they made the mistake, choosing to pay Daniel over Saquon.
Absolutely. So stick that in your pipe, Fink, and just leave it at that. All right, now we go to the other big move of the day. It's the one that was expected, but it hits hard. In Atlanta, the new home of Kirk Cousins, 4-year contract, $100 million guaranteed dollars. Cousins is 36, or he will play this season at 36. He tore his right Achilles week 8 of last season. We've seen the video of him rehabbing and all the rest of that. Vegas likes it. Atlanta's odds to win the NFC South were plus 120 prior to the signing. They're now the odds-on favorites at minus 110, followed by Tampa, followed by New Orleans, followed by Carolina. Shefty, take us through this. How did Captain Kirk wind up a Falcon?
Well, he had discussions at length with the Minnesota Vikings over the weekend. And I think there was a point in time where it seemed to be swinging back to Minnesota. But then in the end, Atlanta steps up and gives him 4 years. And keep in mind, they're giving a 35-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles 4 years. And they're guaranteeing him $100 million. And the Falcons had said that quarterback was their priority, and they went out and showed it with their wallet because they paid Kirk Cousins in a way that Minnesota wouldn't and didn't. And when they stepped up the way that they did, and Kirk Cousins' wife's family is from Atlanta, and he has spent time in the offseason in Atlanta, it made it a simple decision. And to me, for the Atlanta Falcons, when you have a new head coach like Raheem Morris coming in, and let's not forget the fact that Raheem Morris worked with Kirk Cousins in Washington when Morris coached on the defensive side of the football, and the Washington team drafted Cousins that year. He knows exactly what he's getting. And he and their new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, want to run the type of offense that the Rams have. Who's better to do it than Kirk Cousins? And when you sign him, you become an instant contender in the NFC South, an instant contender in the NFC. He transforms that team overnight and leaves the Vikings, who turn to Sam Darnold, in a little bit of a tough situation right now.
So, Dan Orlovsky, complete that sentence. Kirk Cousins makes the Atlanta Falcons what?
Yeah, contenders in the NFC South, certainly to win the division, certainly a playoff football team. They were a borderline playoff football team, which felt like two or three seasons now under Arthur Smith, and now under Raheem Morris, they finally have a quarterback that gives them a chance to actually catapult this offensive talent into something meaningful, Greeny. Kirk Cousins, just so everyone knows, last year was on track for 5,000 yards and almost 40 touchdowns before his Achilles. And I know he's got Addison and Justin Jefferson. I said this yesterday when the signing happened. America, Drake London, you are going to hear that name become household. He is going to become an absolute superstar. And it gives Atlanta likely one of the top six or seven offenses in that conference, and certainly within that division. It now gives them an opportunity, a chance, versus Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield, and they didn't have it yesterday morning.
Yeah, Drake London drafted ahead of Garrett Wilson in that draft
superstar
a couple of years ago. And it leaves a lot of tentacles here, right? Because now Minnesota all of a sudden needs a quarterback. I'll come to Mike T on his winners and losers in a second. But the Cousins thing, to Shefty's point, and now you were working it all day, all week, all, you know, the combine and everything. It was a two-horse race. Someone was always going to win and is always going to leave somebody in a bad spot.
Right, and Minnesota was still talking to them as of yesterday morning. They just never got to the point where they were willing to match the guarantee. And Atlanta's going to pay him $100 million over the next 2 years. It's actually very similar in a lot of ways, structure-wise, to the Daniel Jones deal, in that the Falcons could get out of it after 2 years, having paid him. It reflects a higher salary because Cousins' better player. But anyway, Minnesota left with, they bring in Sam Darnold, who's a candidate to start for them. But they also have the flexibility, Minnesota, now if they want to try and trade up in a draft. If they end up with a player that they feel like they can start right away as a rookie, then Sam Darnold is a nicely paid backup. So you saw a couple teams do this. The Patriots did it with Jacoby Brissett. The Raiders did it with Gardner Minshew. All those teams are positioning themselves in similar ways. They could take a guy in the first round of the draft, and if they don't want to play him right away, they have somebody they can play instead.
So as we all sat back this morning and tried to catch our breath, Mike T, you looked, I thought this was interesting enough that we should just let it stand on its own. You had one big winner and one big loser from day number one.
Yeah, two Big Ten quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy was the big winner. Similar to what Groz just said, when you look at those bridge quarterbacks, so you have the Patriots at 3, they signed Brissett. You have the Minnesota Vikings at 11, they signed Sam Darnold. And then the Las Vegas Raiders signed Gardner Minshew at 13. Someone's going to move up for J.J. McCarthy. It's no longer the big three. Let's be clear about that. J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top 5. Arizona at 4. The Chargers are 5. Are likely to maybe move out to one of those teams. If I'm the Giants at 6 and want McCarthy, I got to move up. He was a massive winner yesterday. And then, Greeny, the flip side of the coin, you and I are shocked by this. Justin Fields. You could have had Justin Fields for literally $2.7 million on a one-year deal. And if you look at Mac Jones going for a 6-round pick, I'm really surprised that one of those teams, be it Vegas, Minnesota, didn't say, hey, for $2.7 million on a one-year deal, I may have the highest upside of all these guys.
All right, so we're all here all morning long, but I'm going to lose Shefty in a minute. So, Shefty, the final minute is yours. Anything you want to clean up here? And then what are the things the fans should be looking to today? What are the biggest shoes we're waiting to drop on this second day of legal tampering?
Well, in regards to Justin Fields, first and foremost, it reminds me a little bit of Lamar Jackson last year, where we're trying to find a home for Justin Fields, and you're saying it's not this team, it's not that team, it's not this team, and the options slowly dwindle to the point where Lamar Jackson all of a sudden is back in Baltimore. Now we wait to see where Justin Fields winds up, and to me, It seems like it's going to be a place that nobody was expecting, that there's going to be a team out there that's willing to value him for the type of player he is and just steps up. In regards to today, Greeny, honestly, there was more activity yesterday on the first day than I've seen in a long time. Running backs flew off the shelf. Offensive linemen flew off the shelf. There's some good players out there, some pass rushers, but free agency almost started and ended in one day, to be perfectly frank.
Derrick Henry. Shefty, where's Derrick Henry going to go?
Well, he's in no rush right now. Baltimore tried to trade for him during the season. Other teams have inquired. We'll see how that one shakes out. He's not going to go until his price is right.
All right, we're going to find out. Shefty, awesome. Stay close by, obviously. As things happen, we'll continue to bring them to you. And we are wall-to-wall with this all morning long. Coming up, Jerry Jones promised to be all in. What exactly does that mean in his world? Because the Cowboys were the only team that was all out on day one of free agency. We'll talk about that. Plus, did anyone have a better Monday than Jordan Love and the Packers? Two huge moves. Are they a sneaky Super Bowl contender? We're all over it, all morning long. Thanks for getting up with us on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up. Hey, you know who was paying attention to what the Eagles were doing yesterday in free agency? Micah Parsons. When Saquon Barkley went to Philly, Micah Parsons laughing, emojis, but crying, tweeting sickening. What do we think of that?
Saquon out of the division.
They didn't want him in the on their arch rival.
A little Nittany line on Nittany line.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, that's right.
Good
point. Look, I mean, the Cowboys, we're going to get to them in a minute here. Did the Eagles win the division by signing Saquon? And what exactly weren't the Cowboys doing on day one? We'll talk about that next. Get up. We're busy. ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bottom of the hour, back on Get Up. Busiest day of the year. Chris Canty is here for the game that is sweeping the nation. It's called Can He or Canty? All right, Chris, here we go. Well, let's start in Atlanta. Can Kirk Cousins win a Super Bowl with the Falcons? Can he or can't he?
He can. I watched Carson Wentz, Nick Foles get hot and the Eagles win a Super Bowl. I watched Joe Flacco do it. There's a reason why the Atlanta Falcons went from 50-1 to 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. They went from 18-1 to 12-1 to win the NFC, and they have the third heaviest odds of anybody in the NFL to win their division behind the 49ers and the Chiefs. They absolutely can get it done because Kirk Cousins gives you the best quarterback play in the NFC South.
Meanwhile, Chicago's our next stop. Justin Fields, the future uncertain. Can Fields still be a starting quarterback? Can he or can't he?
He can. I'll always bet on talent, but I think Justin Fields is going to have to go somewhere where he can sit and watch a professional quarterback go behind about his business, because there's a lot of bad from Chicago that Justin Fields is going to have to unlearn from his first 3 years in the NFL. He needs to get to a stable situation. He needs to be able to understand how to play quarterback in this league, going through his progressions, being able to utilize all the physical tools that he has at his disposal.
And then one more. The Eagles made one of the biggest splashes in free agency, signing Saquon. Can he fix the Eagles' issues on offense? Can he or can't he?
He can't, because the Eagles' issues on offense have to do with the quarterback turning the football over. Jalen Hurts had 20 turnovers last year, and there were only 6 teams in the NFL that had more turnovers than the Philadelphia Eagles. They've got to get that business fixed. But I will say this, we do have an opportunity to find out just how good Saquon Barkley is, because this will be by far the best offensive line that he would have played behind. The Eagles were number one in run block win rate last year. And for Saquon Barkley, that's got to be really exciting to have that opportunity.
Look, I'll take it a step farther. It's the first time in his career that every single time the opposing defense played his team, he wasn't the first priority, right? From the minute he set foot on the field in New York, the other team spent all week saying, how are we going to stop Saquon? He's like the third most important consideration, I would think, in Philadelphia. I think it could change everything. Can I put the tweets up? Let's just put them up there, because it was an interesting tale of 2 days. So the Eagles had a busy day. The Cowboys were literally the only team to do nothing. Our buddy Tad Prescott, Dak's brother, tweeted, so if it wasn't clear already, it is now. The Eagles have the best front office in the NFL. Hashtag, how about them Cowboys? Our own beloved former Cowboy Marcus Spears just tweeted all in with all these laughing emojis.
11. I count 11.
That's while he was busy drying himself off from falling in the water fishing the other day. But that's another story. Now, I shouldn't have sidetracked us. So let's start with this. I've heard a lot of people say the Eagles won the division yesterday. Agree or disagree?
I'm not going to go that far. The Eagles still have to fix their secondary, which was absolutely awful last year. I mean, you're talking about a secondary that gave up the second most passing yards, the second most passing touchdowns, and allowed the third worst QBR of anybody in football. So until they get that part of it figured out, I think we got to pump the brakes on what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing. I like it, but they still got a lot more work to do this offseason to get back to the big game where we saw them in 2022.
Dan, right now, I mean, the Eagles have added what they've added. The Cowboys, as of this point, have not added anything. How do you see it?
Well, it's March 12th, so who's won the division is still a long way away from being answerable. But I do know this. Philadelphia is has to replace the best center in football in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Cam Jurgens is going to step into that role. Saquon Barkley is going to be a tremendous impact for this football team. I agree with Chris that they have to continue to build the back end of their defense. And this is a team that, Greeny, yesterday before Saquon, we thought, yeah, they got a chance to win a division. And now they have a better chance to do that. I think for me, Greeny, the big takeaway when it comes to Philadelphia and Saquon and all that is how the Cowboys did nothing. That's my big takeaway, Greeny. The Cowboys didn't. The Cowboys are down like four or five starters. And I know they're good at roster building. They don't have a left tackle. They don't have a center. They don't have a tailback. They don't have an inside linebacker. Like the Eagles definitely jumped the Cowboys yesterday when it came to chances to win the division. Still some time left, but the Cowboys and standing pat is my big shocker outside of Saquon going to Philly.
Yeah, if you missed it, Tony Pollard yesterday signing in Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I agree with what Chris said. Like, I still don't like Philly's back end, but their problems are a lot less than what Dallas has, as Dano just alluded to. But if I'm Dak Prescott and I want to get a massive new deal, I'm not having my relative call them out. And, you know, we talk about a culture problem. Like, I have sat in that seat for over 20 years. Like, I don't be like, oh, okay, you know what, you're right. Let me give you your deal now. His brother's sitting on a $60 million cap number. You don't think that's one of the reasons right now they're not doing anything? So if I'm Dak Prescott, I want to show leadership. Lead your family first and your team second, and then get in a room with, you know, the Dallas Cowboys and get a deal done long-term, lower your cap number, and then go improve your team. So to me, like, we keep talking about, like, why can't they win? That's a good reason why. You don't see other teams tweeting those things. And trust me, there are a lot of problems out there.
Well, look, and you wouldn't see any other members of the Cowboys have their family members, you know, tweeting nasty things about anybody or anything like that. Wait, what am I being told here? Oh, they all do that? And they aim them directly at Dak Prescott? I think Ted has shown remarkable restraint, to be completely honest with you. Dan, the bottom line of it is this. Mm-hmm. We all want... And by we, I mean the royal we, right? The world wants, when Jerry Jones says, I'm all in, to, like, go do a bunch of things.
That's good.
And then the truth is, They never actually do that, do they?
They never do. I mean, like, I hate to sit here and say I told you so, but the Cowboys aren't going to do anything in free agency on the first day. They don't believe in it. They believe that the right way to build their roster is draft, develop, and retain your own guys. Their priorities this offseason are seeing if they can get contracts done with CeeDee Lamb, maybe Dak Prescott, maybe Micah Parsons. So they'll bring guys in. They're not going to play without only three guys on the offensive line. They're just going to wait until till their prices are what they want them to be. They were interested in Zach Moss, the running back signed with Cincinnati. He got about $4 million a year from Cincinnati. That was too rich for their blood, right?
So $4 million.
I wouldn't be expecting them to bring in Derrick Henry.
Next place we were going to go. That's so who everybody wants them to sign.
It's just not how they operate. I think if Derrick Henry comes into their price range, he makes a lot of sense for them. But I don't think they'll stretch for him. They will, you know, left tackle. Center, I mean, these are priority items. Run stoppers on defense, I think these are places where they will look, and I'm sure they have guys in mind. But if we followed the Cowboys over the last half decade plus, we know that yesterday was not going to be a big day.
James, go ahead. Dan.
Yeah, Graz just used the word priority. That's like my issue. Those are priority positions that they bargain hunt for right now. And that's where if you're a Cowboys fan... Well, at some again, they build good rosters. They've won 12 right. games 3 years in a row. You're going to give Dak Prescott a gajillion bucks in an extension more than likely. Maybe. And 40% of your offensive line is not coming back. So we're talking about potentially at least putting that huge extended quarterback financially, you know, bond an offensive line that is relatively unproven. We'll see if Tyler Smith kicks out the left tackle. So, but they don't have a left tackle. They don't have a center. They don't have a back. They don't have a run-stopping defensive tackle. They don't have even an inside linebacker. At some point, the Cowboys have to not bargain hunt.
No, understood, and that's fair. But, like, to the point about the offensive line, last year's offensive line in Dallas could not block for the run. They feel like they're going to upgrade at some of those positions in terms of that, and that that will help the protection too. So it's not that they don't have a plan. It's just that the general public who's hungry for free agent news doesn't like their plan.
But 31 other teams had a better plan or different plan.
Understood, but they don't win 12 games every year.
Well, we don't know if it's a better plan. I mean, yeah. The proof will happen on the football field this fall. But, I mean, the issues that Dan outlined – there are opportunities for the Dallas Cowboys to improve them. Like, I mean, DJ Reader is still out there. Eric Armstead is out there. Bobby Wagner is out there. Those are guys that are going to come in on lesser deals that could fortify the middle of your defense. Tyler Smith kicking out the left tackle. But I do want to go back to something that Mike Tannenbaum said about the Philadelphia Eagles relative to the Dallas Cowboys. He said the Cowboys have a culture problem. Are we sure that the Philadelphia Eagles don't have a culture problem?
No, we're not. Oh,
are we sure? I mean, they lost 6 of the final 7 games, including getting embarrassed in the postseason. What? And now what compounds that issue is the leadership vacuum that now exists in that locker room because you've lost Jason Kelce, because you've lost Fletcher Cox. I mean, I don't know that there is a head coach quarterback tandem that is going to be under more pressure this season than Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. But I get everybody's right. Focused on Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy. I don't know that the guys in Philadelphia aren't under more pressure.
But Chris, here's the difference. Right. I'm sure that Jalen Hurts had some bumps in the road when he did his massive extension. There's no deal in the history of the NFL that always just went smoothly, especially when we're talking about the types of money we are. But nobody.
There are bumps in the road, and then there are 20 turnovers last year.
I understand that, but my point is Jalen Hurts didn't do anything to amplify the noise. And here's my problem with the Cowboys, Greeny, fundamentally. Dak Prescott's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I've been a huge believer in him. He will get a deal at some point. Why are they waiting? They're sitting on a $60 million cap number. It's going to get done in July. Why not get in a room at the Combine and say, guess what? Todd French, your agent, you are not getting off this bus until we get a deal done. Lower the cap number to give ourselves some flexibility.
Why are you if making the Cowboys could press a button and extend Dak Prescott, they would do it. But same thing happened, whatever it was, 3-4 years ago. It takes two to tango, and Dak Prescott has to want to do the deal too. To entirely blame the team on this, I'm not defending them in all cases, but the fact of the matter is Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys are equally to blame for the lack of extension.
I got one more for Canty, and I'm going to lose him in a minute. You are a former New York Giant, and you are a radio talk show host. Mm. and again, I take Tiki Barber at his word that he was kidding when he said, Saquon, you're dead to me, whatever it is. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Doesn't matter. Yeah. But to the Giant fans out there, and there are a lot of them, and one of them is the coordinating producer of this show, John Fink, who are mad at Saquon, and I mean, our makeup artist Brianna is in there saying he's a traitor because he went to the Eagles. What do we say to them?
You had him for 6 years and you had one playoff win. I mean, this team is not close to winning at a sustained level, at a high level. So it makes sense to reallocate the resources that you would have put in Saquon Barkley, that you would have put in Xavier McKinney, and bringing over two offensive linemen that are going to help address a sore spot, Jermaine Illuminor and then John Runyon, and then also being able to make the trade for Brian Burns and giving him a contract 5 years, $150 million. Green, stop me where you've heard this before. The Giants being strong in the trenches, how's that bode for you? You won two championships, 2007, 2011. Heck, all four of the Giants championships, you could say their offensive and the defensive lines were the catalyst for them being able to get that done. They are moving in that direction in terms of their overall identity. You still got to figure out the quarterback problem, but the positions that you're investing in have a long shelf life in the National Football League. And so they took a step in the right direction, even though it might not feel like that on the field in 20.
No, Graziano, agree. I'm asking specifically about Saquon. Does the fan have a right to be mad at Saquon?
No, because the Giants didn't want him. Like, how can you be mad when the organization doesn't want you? They didn't even have contract talks. You can't be mad at me going to a competitor that was willing to pay me $12 million a year.
Exactly. Orlowski, very quick final word, go.
Fans have absolutely no right to be mad at Saquon Barkley. I always remind people at this time, Saquon Barkley likely has been working for yesterday for 12-plus years, since he was a 10-year-old kid, just to get to that opportunity to make that money that changes his life and his kids' lives. He gets one chance at that. I understand the passion behind it. He gets one opportunity to pay off a dozen-plus years of unbelievable hard work and sacrifice.
Exactly right. If you had one shot, one opportunity, would you let it slide or would you? Okay,
oh, anyway. Gosh, stop.
Chris, you're the man. Thank you. Chris Canty, unsportsmanlike. I didn't even get the bar right. Okay, as we continue. Did anyone have if you had one shot, one opportunity, did anyone have a better Monday than Jordan Love and the Packers? Two huge moves. Are they suddenly a sneaky Super Bowl contender? I'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back on Get Up. Let's run the hurry up through a bunch of the things that happened on the busiest day of the NFL year yesterday. T. Higgins has demanded a trade. Orlovsky, do the Bengals need him if they're going to win a Super Bowl?
Greeny, they do. If we go back a couple years ago when they went on their Super Bowl run, T. Higgins had 17 catches in those playoffs for 300 yards and two touchdowns. This is a very unique offense with those triplets of Boyd, Chase and Jamar T. Chase. Higgins. And it's that trio that they put on the field and in many ways run their offense through it with the catch and throw style of Joe Burrow. They need to keep T. Higgins.
Yeah, we'll see if they're able to do it. Graziano, the Jets signed Tyrod Taylor to be Aaron Rodgers' backup. Should I be excited about that?
Well, I don't know if excited is the right word, but, I mean, he's a good player and a good backup quarterback, which is something they obviously didn't have last year. So, obviously, the Jets hope that Aaron Rodgers will be healthy and play all 17 games and hopefully more for them next year. But if he can't, if 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers does have to miss time, they have a much better option to go to as a backup quarterback than they had at any point last season.
Agree with that. And then finally, Mike T., do the Packers, coming off a big day yesterday, the signing of Josh Jacobs, do they suddenly have the best offense in the NFC?
Yes, arguably they did last year. From week 10 on, they were basically unstoppable on offense. And Green, they scored 69 points in two playoff games. Josh Jacobs is younger, more productive, more explosive than Aaron Jones. And Aaron Jones was a good player when healthy. They made the right decision, not the easy one.
Well, it's a cruel business. Right? And you guys know it. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum, you know it from the seat you had to sit in all those years. And Graziano and I have followed it and covered it all these years. And Dan, you played it. I mean, it is a cruel. Aaron Jones did everything you could do for a franchise. He was a great player. He was a great leader. He was a great part of the community. But at the end of the day, they saw an opportunity to get better there, and they just did it. And Aaron Jones, boom, cut. We'll see where he winds up. Josh Jacobs, boom, younger and in. Am I being told Aaron Jones to the Vikings is a done deal? Is that what I'm being told?
Aaron Jones expected to join the Vikings on a one-year deal. So
okay.
We'll see.
Wow. As news develops here, if any of it comes in as we are on the air, certainly we'll pass it along. So Aaron Jones stays in the division. But, Dan, let's focus on Green Bay. I mean, they obliterated the Cowboys in the playoffs. They had a really good chance to beat the 49ers on the road. Yeah. They get another year from Jordan Love, and now they add, you know, the new piece here in Josh Jacobs. What do we think about Green Bay?
Yeah, top three or four offense in the conference next year, and this is an offense that I would bet on making a lot of problems for defenses. Greeny, Josh Jacobs is a bell cow, and while they were really good offensively last year, specifically late in the season – you know, when you add a player like Josh Jacobs, it is, hey, every down we can potentially run the football. We don't have to necessarily mix and match like they did with a little bit A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. If you go back 2 years, just 2022, he ran for over 1,600 yards and 5 yards per carry. But this is what's crazy. He ran for over 1,000 yards on first down alone that year. That's where you're going to see the impact for that offense. Imagine this Matt LaFleur offense that loves to be that play-action game and run the football and the speed and the weapons they have on the outside now being dominant on first down. You're talking about setting Jordan Love up, not for success, but for the potential for domination offensively. If they stay healthy on the perimeter and that back stays healthy like he did in 2022, this is an offense that looks to be a top three or top four one in the conference.
I completely agree. I said they were a sneaky good Super Bowl pick at the end of last year, and they only got better yesterday despite the loss of Aaron Jones and the future Jet David Bakhtiari. Yeah.
Just to add to that, Josh Jacobs had 197 career receptions.
One person laughed. I got one laugh out of it. I could use. I didn't get a harump out of this.
I didn't think you were joking. Yeah.
That's known property.
But look, Jordan Love was a young ascending player. I agree with what Dan said, but when you add what Josh Jacobs does out of the backfield, again, these are long handoffs and checkdowns. This is a really difficult offense to defend, especially when you look at the depth at tight end and wide receiver. the fact that they're so young and inexpensive give them very unusual depth. And that's why, to me, when you just look at the way they finish, Greeny, and where they should start, I think they have the best offense in the NFC. I would take them over the 49ers.
Aaron Jones came back from his injury last year and was awesome for the Green Bay Packers down the stretch. A key part of why their offense was so good down the stretch and into the playoffs. Problem is, he had to come back from injury, right? And he's getting toward 30 years old. Josh Jacobs, 3 years younger. Packers always thinking long-term, always thinking future, right? They have a young offense, young receivers, young quarterback. They bring in a young running back who's already established. A 26-year-old free agent is gold, right? I mean, that's exactly when you want to get these guys. By the way, they signed a 24-year-old safety. The Packers are... Packers going to Packer.
I like what the Packers are doing. Yeah. The other side of it, Aaron Jones goes to Minnesota. Justin Jefferson is there. He's arguably the best receiver in the National Football League. They lose their quarterback, Kirk Cousins, to the big money deal to Atlanta. They bring in Sam Darnold, who feels like a bridge option. Maybe they try and draft a rookie. It will beg the question, if the Vikings are rebuilding, should they consider trying to get the haul of all hauls and trading Justin Jefferson, Mike T? Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's something else you got to be worried about if you're the Minnesota Vikings is Justin Jefferson knocking on your door saying, hey, I want to get traded. I don't want to play with Sam Darnold. I want out of here. And you've got to be careful because all of a sudden you're going from Kirk Cousins, Danielle Hunter, Dalvin Cook, and maybe Justin Jefferson. This is tearing it down to the studs. So if you go down that road and you can get 2-1s for Justin Jefferson, and maybe outside of Tyreek Hill, he is the best receiver in the league, this could be a real problem for Minnesota. And look, Sam Darnold, this is his fourth team. I know the Jets ruined him, but if I'm Justin Jefferson, am I going to be able to get the production that I want at that position?
Orlovsky.
I've said for a year now, Greeny, the only thing that matters in Minnesota is how they keep Justin Jefferson. Now that Kirk Cousins has moved on, he's the face of their organization, the face of their franchise. I don't think you just walk away from that, even though some of the young receivers that are coming into the NFL out of college are really good. For me, I love Sam Darnold there. I think he can go play well there. They are the prime team to move up in the draft. Right. If you had to give me one team that had to go up in the draft now, coming off of yesterday, it's Minnesota. And I would go, are they going to get Drake May or are they going to go get J.J. McCarthy? That's 1-2 for them.
That's fair, but I think they also right now project to be the worst team in the division.
Well,
I mean, the Bears look like they're ready to make themselves a lot better. The Lions were in the NFC Championship game yesterday. We just raved about the Packers. Minnesota just lost their quarterback. How are they not the worst team in that division?
They could be, but they could still be good. Look, they signed a bunch of guys on defense yesterday, good ones that other people were interested in, Jonathan Grenard, et cetera. So they feel like if they can't keep Cousins, which they couldn't, they build an infrastructure. If it's a rookie quarterback coming in, at least he has a good defense. He's got a good running back. He's got great receivers. Maybe they can do something with it.
All right, Booger's going to jump in here for our second hour. The crew stays together. We're all over this all morning long. So we will continue that conversation. Coming up, a giant stunner in Philadelphia. What did the Eagles signing of Saquon Barkley mean for his new team and his old team? Don't miss the big fella. Booger joins us live next. Get up on ESPN.